The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We have a special guest in studio today, Ms. Michelle O'Keefe, director, founder of AIRS Cancer Support Foundation. So welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Miss Michelle, how are you?
Hi, morning, and morning to all your viewers. I am fine. It's lovely to be here with you.
Oh, so welcome, welcome. So is it the first time on radio, talking on radio, or is it, you know, first time?
Actually, I've done a lot of programs over the years.
Nice.
Quite a few, actually. Yes.
All right, so tell us a little bit about yourself, because... Well, we were kind of getting to know each other off air.
Yes.
You know, and you say that you had little surprises in between. So let's talk about it. Tell us about your journey in this unfortunate, but we're still looking on the bright side.
It's not unfortunate, actually. So that I am hoping that we can actually have that discussion for persons to know that when we are diagnosed with cancer, it's not always taken as an unfortunate situation, right? So I was actually diagnosed quite a few years ago. I am about to complete my 25th anniversary as a cancer survivor.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And what we are trying to do as an organization is to be able to show not the negative side, because we say that we don't die from cancer. We die from anything else but, right? My journey was pretty easy. It was actually, it was different. I would say that I don't want to say I was a lucky one, but at the end of the day, the challenges always come with it. So I did receive chemotherapy. I did have the radiation. I had three surgeries, and all of this was completed within 10 months of my life.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, yes. So it's like I said, everyone else was losing weight during chemotherapy. I gained 45 pounds. So
so for those who are watching online, you see the expression of like, what, 45 pounds?
45
Because there are many stories of it going in the opposite direction.
Correct, correct. I was actually vegan when I was diagnosed also. And from the word go, from the time I started chemotherapy, I just started to crave for meat. And I asked the oncologist, I said, what is this? I don't eat meat. You know, I didn't even have eggs or seafood, nothing like that. Totally vegan. And he said, whatever your body is asking you for, you give it.
Give it. Okay.
You know, so I was sleeping a lot, eating a lot. You know, and a lot of meat products and all these things that you would hear about processed foods. And so some of those things are what kept me going, which was like, if just as an example, you're looking at like hot dog sausages, because I fell for a lot of pepper, a lot of spicy, you know, things at that time. And so I would just boil the hot dog sausages and have it even without bread, you know. And
that sounds like a pregnancy craving.
Yes.
Correct.
It felt that way. And then I just started to gain the weight and gain weight because I slept a lot, right? What I would do, I was employed at the time, and I would, like on a Saturday, I have the treatment, which was chemotherapy at the time, and I would like take 1 week off. And in that week, I think I slept more than anything else. It was eating and sleeping for that
time period.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, it's different for everyone because everyone obviously would have our bodies, our blood types and different things like that will react to the chemotherapy differently. And for me, it was okay. I did a lot of beaches at that time, totally bald. You know, I had a time.
Now, the thing, I will admit, some of the stories that I've heard have been very harrowing, experiencing it in my family as well, seeing, you know, individuals go through chemotherapy and you say lose hair and, you know, personality change, all the whole gamut of it.
Yes.
You know, not to say that they were pessimists. They were optimists.
Yes.
They are, because I have two aunts who are still surviving and battling.
Excellent.
You know, and their outlook has always been, you know, well, God bring me to this point. He will continue to the next point. you know, and keeping that elevated thought.
Yes.
Because from what I understand, it's a very close relationship between your mindset and what happens with your body.
Yeah, so we say you use like it's a total approach that mm-hmm. needs to be used. So some persons who never believed in God, they find God mm-hmm. and they find, you know, that strength. Because then a lot of people, you get a lot of advisors, you get herbalists, you get naturopaths, you get medical, you get, you know, you just get a whole host of people from the time giving you advice that may or may not necessarily be mm-hmm. or should be taken for what it is. For instance, persons who have their different types of breast cancer
mm-hmm.
and persons who were diagnosed with hormonal breast cancer, particularly in the case of estrogen, right? It's you are biopsied and it is proven what type you have. Back in my days, they weren't as specific because it was just a matter of survival.
Yeah.
Just get treated, survive. Mm. You know? However, with the estrogen, for instance, you would have heard the Cygen or the Moringa is used a lot for breast cancer. And really and truly, you're not supposed to have that if you're estrogen positive, because it causes the estrogen levels to
elevate.
Correct. So you need to know what you have,
mm-hmm.
what you were diagnosed with, and don't go and compare notes, because they sit with each other at the clinic,
right?
And they compare notes and how come doctor gave you this and why not this and but I'm not taking that and how come and how come. Each case is an individual thing, right? And however you choose to move forward and cope, and the one thing we don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't give up. And like one of the things I remember, I used to tell people, because I was 32 at the time, and you know, I said, you know, it's only the good die young, you know. So I didn't think I was that good to die at that mm-hmm. age, you know. I actually had two sons who had, one, the elder one, was actually doing the last common entrance mm-hmm. examination in Trinidad. And I remember he said to me, because I didn't wait to go bald, I shaved, right? And
right.
my hair was pretty long, right? And I remember when I told him, I said, okay, Mom needs to do this, because he had a little more understanding than the younger one at the time. But they mm-hmm. were both attending the same school, same primary school. And I remembered, well, first of all, the hairdresser didn't want to
cut the hair.
No, because I thought I said shave all.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to look patchy, and that makes you look sick mm-hmm. right, when you're not, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember the older one said to me, you know, he wouldn't want, when I come to pick up the younger one, he wants to travel, he doesn't want to come with me. I said, fine. And I gave him taxi money because it's mm-hmm. your choice.
Mm-hmm.
He never took a taxi. You know, I dropped them to school. I picked them up from school, you know. So at the end of the day, it's a complete approach to be used, mm-hmm. right? So you have to know, I say, mind, body, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If your body is calling for certain things, please, I mean, yes, consult with your
and
doctor.
Within moderation as well.
Of course, because yeah. I hear so many stories about juicing, about what they juice. I hear stories about what not to eat and what not to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me, I drink Coca-Cola. Yeah, I still drink Coca-Cola. I'm not advertising for them, but
you're just breaking all the rules. Just breaking all the rules. But let's bring in the foundation that you've started
yes.
and you're part of, because there is a lot of information that you're giving us right now, and that would come from understanding correct. The process and interacting with different members who are surviving.
Correct.
Tell us about the AERS.
It's yeah? EARS, because mm-hmm. it's Embracing All Real Survivors Cancer Support Foundation. Mm-hmm. So what happened when I got thrown into this diagnosis? My oncologist, Dr. Hess Benjamin, I keep telling people, he did not allow me to be a patient because mm-hmm. everything was, you know, a go. It had to be done like immediately.
Right.
And I remembered him saying to me while I was on active treatment and everything, he said, here, I'm giving your number to my patient. I'm giving your number. And he just started from since then,
mm-hmm.
he would just give my number out freely. So from then, I would get up, because I wasn't thinking about myself,
mm-hmm.
and I will go to whatever the patients needed to go to, whether it's you're going into surgery, you're going in for, you know, whatever tests. I would speak to persons at length. And so I started, you know, during that period to mm-hmm. support. Mm-hmm. However, approximately 12 years into survivorship, I met persons from the Cancer Society at the time, and I started to volunteer with them. And from there on, it was meeting other women who would have gone through the cancer, and then those who was now being diagnosed and stuff like that. And in 2016, some of us, well, from 2014, we branched away from the society.
Mm-hmm.
And from 2016, we decided to register and have our own. So what we are seeing is that we've created a family mm-hmm. for ourselves, by ourselves. And same thing, whatever, it's a need-by-need basis, whatever mm-hmm. the patient needs, that is what we would like to cater support them. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the main things too, it's not just about breast cancer.
Well,
it's not just about pink.
Well, the thing is, because I don't want to say, well, yes, it's a very big part in advertising.
Correct.
And not only local advertising, but international Correct. Advertising. Because there, I guess the more attention it is paid, the more funding and the more money comes into it, and merchandise. I tell you, it's a whole thing. You know, but I'm looking at your calendar of cancer awareness months. And January is cervical cancer.
Correct.
Yeah. I could borrow this one, please. Thanks. Because, you know, the eyes and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
February, National Cancer Prevention Month, gallbladder and bile duct cancer awareness. In March, it's colorectal cancer awareness, kidney cancer awareness, multiple myeloma
mm-hmm.
awareness. That's in March. April, it's testicular cancer awareness, esophageal cancer awareness. Head and neck is like cancer for every single part of the
Correct.
Body.
Correct. And when you look at that chart, mm-hmm. we've had Trinbagonian experience every single one on those.
All right, so for those who are listening, let me just finish the list, because there is head and neck cancer awareness, melanoma and skin cancer awareness. This is in May. Brain cancer awareness, National Cancer Survivor Month. So this is for all.
So yeah, so we do all cancers. We celebrate Cancer Survivors Day the first Sunday in June annually.
Mm-hmm.
And that entire month is Cancer Survivors Month.
And July is sarcoma awareness, bladder cancer awareness. August, well, you'll take a break in August.
We try to.
In September, childhood cancer, gynecological
yes.
cancer, yes. leukemia and lymphoma, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, thyroid cancer awareness. October, breast cancer awareness, liver cancer awareness. November, it's pancreatic, lung, stomach, carcinoid cancer awareness, and caregivers month.
Yes.
So for all the caregivers during the month, it's celebrated in November.
Correct.
And then December, choose hope.
Well, in December, we would hope that we can again take a break, but really I'm here with you this morning, right?
And well, it's always about awareness and bringing Correct. Attention to, because I did not know there were so many cancers.
Yeah, since you're the pretty ribbons, there's actually cancer of the appendix also. And it would have, I believe it falls, if I'm not mistaken, it's either September or November.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, I think, in our brochure, in that chart.
Okay.
So, and that's a sort of amber color. So what we actually do is we do ribbons, we make our ribbons, mm-hmm. and we try to distribute. So for every event that we are attending, because how we support also, which I would say pre-diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
would be to come out to companies, organizations, so that you are aware of whether you can or will not experience a symptom, for instance. Because people mm-hmm. ask questions like, how come my colleague just got diagnosed and in 3 weeks the person may have passed away on, and stuff?
Yeah.
And we try to explain why and how these things happen. We also network a lot with the different medical institutions as well as personnel.
Mm-hmm.
So that, for instance, in November annually, we are with the lung and thoracic unit for the lung cancer awareness, because that's in November.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually was invited in July to have a session with that clinic also, because the chest clinic, because of the fact that, you know, patients come and you may experience like similar symptoms. So we are saying to you, know, listen, check this out. You know, just suggestions, because remember, we are survivors, but we are working, we are very close knit with the consultants, doctors, even the nurses, because some of them even volunteer with us when we go out. Right. So we are in health fairs. We are, you name it. One of our main goals this year that I would say we have achieved, we spent a lot of time. I found that men generally don't take care of themselves health wise. We women from the time, well, we women too. I mean, we feel the pain and then we run.
And we kind of push through because, well, it have kids to take care of, house to take care of, and including the guy who don't want to go to the doctor.
Correct. And even if they feel the pain, remember, they don't go.
Mm-hmm.
So since August, actually, I was invited, well, our organization was invited to a health fair that the prison service was having, and it was like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I got the NCRHA to do was to provide prostate testing. Because remember, on the ground, I am seeing the statistics of cancer rising. So 25 years ago, what I would have seen, what I would have experienced in comparison to maybe over the last 5 years or so,
it has increased
significantly. And the types, because like you rightfully said, maybe back then, breast cancer, you know, and maybe the little few guys who would have been hiding prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last period of years, like I said, it's the multiple myeloma that is actually a blood cancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen the rise in it. I've seen colon cancer rising. Now, we do have survivors of over 10 years of colon cancer.
Okay.
Yes, I have male and female, actually. We have throat, we have thyroid, we have... We just have.
Now, you made a very good point about the symptoms, because what would present, like, okay, experience again.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it was detected in one of my aunts is because she had a cold.
Yes.
And it presented as, you know, I find my nose running, I find my chest a little tight, and I'm coughing, but I'm not bringing up. I don't understand this cold, and it was all kind of medication, because, you know, these are the things that you take to self-medicate and suppress the cold. Until, you know, more than flour, you realize it was something in the lungs.
Yes.
You know, and taking into that into consideration, I don't think you should ignore any type of symptom.
Correct.
As foolish as it may sound, going to the doctor and saying, I have a cold. I think further exploratory questions would be able to say, well, do this test, do that test. However, let me put it in here too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the doctors have to listen the patient.
They don't. I agree with you. And the other thing is that they stop at. So for instance, symptoms, as I said, are similar.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer, non-cancer, right? How much medication you take when you suspect it's not cancer, you need to know when to stop. You need to be able to tell your medical professional, hear what, this thing not working. I'm not feeling any better. You need to start to be educated correctly to understand different diseases. I mean, we have experience with different diseases. The thing about it is that because people are still so afraid of being diagnosed with cancer, they don't go that distance.
Gaslight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Because when you think of that, you think about the money that has to go into medication. You have to think about money, time for treatment. And
there's the public healthcare system still. There's
how long does it take to get?
No, let me not knock it.
It's still available.
Yeah, because like, right? For instance, we've had instances. So most of the persons we support are referred to us, a friend, a family, someone we may have touched on their lives in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors, right? So there's a particular doctor, Dr. Nalini Kukaram. When she does her diagnosis, mm-hmm. she calls me and she says, okay, this is the situation. She speaks to me in front of the patient and everything. And from there, we get them into, like, breast. You get into the breast clinic in St. James. Mm-hmm. I've done that in 24 hours. I've done that from a weekend.
The thing is, a network of people helping you,
you.
Kind of makes it easier rather Thank than because you will go and sit down inside of the waiting room.
But you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do.
And you're waiting for hours.
Correct.
And you want a nurse to talk to you, but they're so busy and overwhelmed that, you know, okay, we're coming back just now. And yeah,
they can't. Yeah. And this is why, you know, even though earlier this year, my daughter was actually saying to me earlier on that, you know, I mean, it's like every weekend we were out. And so you know, yes, we may have been out every weekend and we may have been spreading this with, but that's just us.
Mm-hmm.
How much more is needed? A lot more is needed because you still go out. I'm here this morning. You never knew that there were so many cancers.
Yeah, that was our education this morning.
It's not promoted properly. Yeah. It's not the awareness. Like when someone tells me that someone died from cervical cancer, I'm like, no, woman, you do not die from cervical cancer. You know, so these are some, but women also ignore some of the signs and symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, we Dr. Google. We self-medicate,
mm-hmm.
and we don't take those steps forward. And even when we go to the doctor, like, I don't take Panadol for the flu or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I overdose myself with vitamin C, and in 2 days' time, I'm back up.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to understand that you don't, you know, it's, you don't take things for granted. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you spoke about with the cough, for instance, in my experience and exposure, I can tell the difference in a cough, whether it's a flu you have or if you have fluid in your lungs, right? Because over the period of time, you would have heard and seen and been with, yeah, because we go into at your home and
up.
Everywhere.
Right.
Correct. So there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like some people ask me, can you come and tell me how long you think my relative have to live? And I'm like, oh my gosh.
That is such a burden.
I also have to do that. So I go into palliative care. Hold hands with them. They tell me don't leave them, but they are transitioning at that point in time. So mm-hmm. yeah, but there's a look. There are changes that takes place, and you know the person doesn't have much time again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, my little surprise though for you is that you know a lot of people speak about the journey as a negative thing, and most of the times you tell a person that you're a survivor,
mm-hmm.
and they say to you, oh, my aunt, my mom, my someone
mm-hmm.
died from, right? Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is to change that narrative, right? For some great reason, I would have, long ago, they would have told us that when we are 10 years cancer-free, they would say we are in remission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the side effects of having chemotherapy is that it stops your menstrual cycle. And most of the times, I would say average, by a five-year period, you usually, it returns. You may get signs of it before, right? But for 10 years, my own didn't return, right? I would have been on some hormonal medication for 5 years. And then I said, okay, well, maybe, you know, within the next five. But it never did. However, instead of only celebrating my 10th anniversary as a survivor,
mm-hmm.
that year, I was also celebrating becoming a new mom.
Oh, I felt it. I felt it.
And I was like a full 6 months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
So I had like 3 months after my first son was already 22 years of age. And my second
How did he take
son,
that?
My second son, mm-hmm. who they would have gone through the whole journey with me, he was like 16, about to leave secondary school. And here I'm telling them, jokingly initially, before actually proving it, jokingly saying to them, oh, y'all are getting a little sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they took it quite well, thank God. And she's now 14 years of age. So she actually goes out with me. She has been a lot.
Mm-hmm. So she's like a miracle baby.
Correct. And my cycle never returned, actually.
That makes it even more
yes.
fantastic. That makes yes. it more like, you know, I don't want to give the comparison, but you know where I'm going with it. You know? That is such a beautiful story.
So it's a positive. And I mean, there are women who would have had like polycystic ovaries and depressed because they couldn't have babies. And I'm not saying that chemo is the answer to anything. I'm not saying it's not a difficult period of your time. But how you going, how your mindset is going into chemo, it will treat you the same way, right? There are expectations, but it just may never happen to you, right? So there are women that would have had babies after chemo with polycystic ovaries because, remember, it's killing all our cells, good and bad. And as the cells die, it's rejuvenated. So they became
cycle
really
of life.
You know, sometimes their hair is different. They have different hair color. Sometimes different texture, but it's not all negative. We live.
I'm thinking about it. Like, probably women had multiple births and twins and all. You hear these, you know, really fantastic stories, miracles we want to call them. You know, sometimes you wouldn't want to label it as such, but listening, I hope TNT, you're hearing that there's a lot that can happen, good that can happen post-diagnosis.
Correct.
And as you said earlier on, it gives the idea that hope is on the other side of it and not to be afraid to get checked. Because as you say, the diagnosis is scarier than actually doing the exam.
Correct. And even the treatment. So when sometimes when women are bald head and stuff like that, they look ill. I mean, chemo actually interferes with the levels of our blood cells and stuff, right? So when we drop, it means that you're gonna look a little more ill, just like if you have the flu. But then to some persons, to the general public, it's as if because they see us looking a particular way. Of course, I never looked that way because I used to be in my two-piece and going to the beach. And
you know who you remind me of? Let me tell you. I did an interview with Miss Nicole Dyer Griffith, who just recently started her own journey. And, you know, she's a fashionista.
Of course.
And she said, you know what? I look too good with this bald head. I'm paraphrasing, but you get the idea. You know, and the fashionista came out and said, I'm not going to let this beat me in that way.
Correct.
I'm going to wear my, you know, outfits.
Correct.
And, you know, that way you feel better about yourself. And it gives a little more, what's the word I'm looking for, adrenaline or energy to
and
get
that
to.
That energy, yeah. You need that energy to continue because you do not want, and like I said, it's just too much advice that you get of the things not to eat and not to drink. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in preparation for chemotherapy, it actually affects the patient.
Right.
Because then you decided, okay, every morning I got up, I had a cup of coffee for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of my life, right? I'm saying. And one morning somebody says to you, oh, you were just diagnosed with cancer, so cut out the coffee. Cut out cheese, cut out chocolates, cut out. And that's all you're hearing. And it's like, listen to me, I go to rituals very regular. I do have Starbucks. I eat chocolates every day. I drink Coke. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. You can't just, you know, because if you were to take the guidelines that was set for being diagnosed with cancer and you were to apply it to me, then somebody will have a serious problem, right? 121 pounds, being vegan, very active, this, that, everything, eating my vegetables. I mean, I used to be like a rabbit, you know? I mean, you know?
The thing is, I appreciate that from your survivorship, you're able to give information to those who are scared out of their minds starting this journey.
Yes.
You know, is there, well, let's give out the contact information and what other services you do provide with the foundation that could give anyone who's now starting that journey, oh gosh, there is a network I could reach out to.
Right. Yeah? So we are 496 EARS, which is 3277, right? So it's 496 EARS, which is 3277. We can be contacted via Facebook. We have our social media, sometimes not as up to date, but it's there. It's sometimes just too many activities. I am actually owing to update some stuff. We are on Twitter. We have our Instagram account. on our table with the TikTok and all the other things. But we are reachable, as mm-hmm. well as, like I said, the medical fraternity. And so they do contact us. Sometimes I am in clinic with someone, and Doc will actually, Nicole's surgeon, mm-hmm. is one of our, part of our network.
Right.
And he says, you're here, you know, he calls me on my phone because he doesn't know which part of the building I am. And come now, come in my office now, mm-hmm. you know, because somebody needs support. Right. So we may be anywhere at any time. And it's just a matter of reaching out, and we will be able to assist, because another group of persons that I do online too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you make this sound so normal. I said, because it is.
And that, I was going to use the word illusion,
yeah.
that it is like the death sentence and be all and end all.
Yes,
that's the perception you want to change.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We live normal. They're, you know, survivors are wrong.
Yeah, because sometimes.
In between.
They want to treat them like, y'all are so fragile. You can't go outside in the sun. What are you doing?
Oh, speaking of that. So we were invited a couple of years ago. There's a Canadian doctor
mm-hmm.
that would have been blown out of his own perception of what breast cancer was supposed to do mm-hmm. to women. And he, Dr. Don McKenzie is his name, he would have initially taken 24 women
mm-hmm.
to train on dragon boat paddling. But because of the surgeries that breast cancer women particularly go through, with the removal of the lymph nodes under the arm and sometimes on the side of the breast, and so he would have thought it would be something to like tedious
mm-hmm.
and he would have done some land training initially, and from 95 to now they are still founding members of that first dragon boat team
mm-hmm.
that after land they went into the water. And what they realized then is that, but it helps with like lymphedema and stuff like that, because some women do develop that after having the lymph nodes removed.
Mm-hmm.
You will see someone with a sleeve on one side.
Right.
One arm is bigger than the other. It doesn't necessarily happen again, right? So what the dragon boat paddling does, and we started, so what it actually does is prevent, to a point, the lymphedema from coming on. And if you do have lymphedema, because it's not something you have to manage, no, it's not like curable, for the want of that word. So it actually helps with all the pain management and stuff, and you will feel better. You'll feel different. You mm-hmm. do feel, because we've had women with it on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
We had lung cancer patients too, but just saying. And they did feel that difference,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Well, this is the next question I have to ask. What role does exercise really play within survivorship of cancer? And would you advise that someone, I mean, we're talking about dragon boat racing.
Yes, we are. And
so
we
high intensity.
Right. We beat the normal teams too. We beat the normal teams. We had something called circuit
because
racing.
You always thought that heavy or intense exercises like that, you should stay away from. Because once again, the idea that, oh, they're so fragile.
You know? And I'm sure that you're not agreeing with that now that you met me this morning.
No. That's a totally different perception now.
And we bring out our boat.
Yeah? Right.
And we to launch, and we put back our boat on the stand. So come on. Come on.
So ladies and gentlemen who are listening right now and you want to get in touch with Miss Michelle O'Keefe, make sure that you call the numbers. Let me give it out to you once again. It is 868-496-EARS or 3277-496-3277. So, I mean, the conversation going really, really good. I love it. What would be the next event you will be at, so those who can't meet you in the office could get to you in person? Because trust me, you would like to meet the lady. She's a very, very nice lady.
Actually, we again, just to mention, we have partnered with a Trinidadian that lives in the UK, has been for quite a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are doing is we are bringing items. So she's shipping from the UK to us,
mm-hmm.
Including shoes, clothing, wigs,
mm-hmm.
right? And we are going to be expanding that program So we have some items in Trinidad already. We collected 2 shipments already where we are going to give away. We are giving away. We started to cancer survivors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things too is there's the Macmillan books that shows you it's different. There's a whole set of different books that come with from Macmillan. They are one of the biggest support organizations in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are trying to do eventually is to be able to supply the books, maybe at a very small donation just for our clearance, because we have to pay to clear and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, at least you can start reading, and there are bigger books that are more interactive if you don't like to read much and things like that. And some of the things, obviously, you have to have your own experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So as far as events are concerned, I know plans are amiss for next month. Let us bring up cervical cancer awareness. So I may try to be in St. James a lot mm-hmm. with the gynecological doctors, because I think they feel sometimes very left out, right? Because there's a gynae clinic and a breast clinic that functions in the same
office. Area.
Yeah, same offices they use, but just different days, right? So that's one of the things, you know, getting your pap smear done. Mm-hmm. Women who don't have a womb, there is something called a vol smear that you are supposed to still do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you're left out in the woods and nobody cares about you. Yes, you're still in the game.
Mm.
So we will just, like I said, once contacted, we'll be able to bring this awareness, bring the knowledge, bring the education, bring the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And let people know that, hey... Hey,
do there what is you support
need to do. Yeah, yeah.
Do one group that we didn't pay attention to that I'm hoping. Well, I would think that you have that facility as well for the children who go through different types of cancer, because cancer does affect children as well.
Right. So the Just Because Foundation, what we try to do is take more adult, because
okay.
the adult is overwhelming
to
get to learn of, you know, about each of them and to know how to treat. Because remember too, okay, so we don't just treat with the patient, we treat with the relatives, the
right.
colleagues, the okay. everybody, the friend, whoever, mm-hmm. right?
Because who will in turn be their support network as well.
Sometimes, because okay. sometimes the person they feel so helpless. They don't know what to say, because don't ever look at a cancer patient and say, I'm so sorry. Like, somebody called me the other day from a particular insurance company, right? I have to share this one, right? I don't know. You know how these agents get your numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when she called me, she said, I'm calling from so-so-so, and I have this special on insurance and things I love. So she said, I said, but I am a cancer survivor. Oh, I'm so sorry. I said, hello? Hello? I said, I'm a cancer survivor. I did not die from cancer.
They just heard the words cancer
exactly.
and not survivor.
Exactly.
And she said sorry.
And
yeah.
she didn't even ask, how long have you survived or anything?
Yeah.
Those things you do not tell us. We are not sorry. I am not sorry. Yeah. We go through what we go through, just like anything else that you go through in life. It's just another day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You go through it. And once you have the correct persons around you, you know, sometimes relatives say, I don't know what to say. I don't know. And so we try to treat with the entire body of people around you. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, we give trouble. We give trouble. One minute you have a craving for this, and when the relative prepares it, I don't want that again. Oh, yes, it happens. And it happens regularly. Right?
I thought I was okay.
No.
I thought I experienced that.
And you talk about boldface. If you weren't boldface before and very demanding and very...
I still love you. Still love you.
Okay. Okay. So that is what it is about, because it's like, to me, we are still looked at as being... We have to be strong. We still have to be strong for the persons around us while we are dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Actually
so,
living it.
You
yeah.
know? So it's like, I say, you know, it's who in the kitchen feels the heat. Yeah, we are in the hot seat, but then we... No, I'm fine. This time every part here might be hurting and you might be feeling like you just want to whatever. But, you know, we just smile and we still say, yes, I'm fine.
Blink, blink.
Right? Right? As you rightfully said, particularly when you have these young children, too, mm-hmm. right? So children with cancer, there's a section at the... or department at the Mount Hope Hospital. Mm-hmm. The Just Because Foundation, they literally take the children total, you know, with the team, again, medical professionals up there.
Mm-hmm.
So they do, you know, everything that they need to. Recently there was their kiddie walk and stuff like that, which we would have been, mm-hmm. we would have participated in that also, just to show our support.
Well, okay, that's not related. I thought that was another question coming in for you
okay.
here at 3061065. Miss Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're very welcome.
And your bubbly personality has been, you know, brought joy over the airwaves this morning. Thank you so much for giving that story. And TNT, for those who are interested in getting in touch with Miss Michelle O'Keefe, it is the AIRS Foundation. And the... is there like a solid location, like, as I say, an in-store place you could go on?
We actually have a floor at the Royal Air Forces Association building around the Queen's Park, Savannah. We presently have the items that were shipped. But because our need is to be at the studio, and when I leave here, I go to another location until 2 o'clock today. Mm-hmm. So, or we could be at clinic, you know.
So it's like a roving location.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yes. But gotcha. We do have that fixed place that we have the items so persons could come, look at it, view, take, you know, stuff like that.
All right. So let me give the number one last time. It is 496 EARS. That's 3277. 496 EARS 3277. So once again, thank you so much, Miss O'Keefe, for coming in.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.